Then said Jesus to the crowds and to his disciples, The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, so practice and observe whatever they tell you, but not what they do. For they preach but do not practice. They bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with their finger. They do all their deeds to be seen by men, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long, and they love the place of honor at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues, and salutations in the marketplaces, and being called rabbi by men. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brethren. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither be called masters, for you have one master, the Christ. He who is greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus condemns the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees because he can see into their hearts. The Lord Jesus knows everything. In his divinity, he is omniscient, so he can judge. He is the judge of the living and the dead, and his judgment is true. And he can tell who is really following God's will and who is not. He calls us to obey the teaching of the scribes and Pharisees insofar as what they teach is from God, but not follow their example. And their example is one of hypocrisy. They're fake. On the outside, they appear to be men of God. They appear to be religious, pious, virtuous, and righteous. But on the inside, they're not. Their hearts are very far from God. They're not followers of the way of truth. Their hypocrisy, though, if you think about it, it seems strange, difficult to believe that it is possible. After all, their book is the Bible. They have the Old Testament, most of it, and they study it up one side and down the other. They have a knowledge of the sacred scriptures that most people don't have. And so they're experts on the wisdom that comes from God. They have a lot of good things in their lives. They have a secure life. Many people respect them and listen to them, even though they have not earned people's respect. And they have a gift. These scribes and Pharisees have a gift that we all want. It's a gift that is awesome. And it's this. They see Jesus. They make eye contact with the Son of God. They hear his sacred voice and hear his teachings and his eternal wisdom. They witness his miracles and perceive his authority as one from God. They have everything for a life of goodness, a life of holiness in the sight of God and others. And yet, they are fake. And yet, they've lost it all. And what is the root that has led them to this hypocrisy? Because think about this. They probably did not start this way. You know, when they, scribes and Pharisees, were children, as they grew older, they probably wanted to know something about God and wanted to teach others the same knowledge that they would receive from their instructions. They probably had really pure ideals as they got older. But at some point, they went down the path of evil. And what is it that led them to this hypocrisy? It was their arrogance. Their arrogance. They exalted themselves above everyone, including above God. They think they're better even than Jesus. Now, this may sound like I'm shifting gears in my sermon here, but I'm really not. Anybody who knows me knows that I love drums. I really love drums. I've been playing drums for many, many years. I don't really like it when drums are just pounded really hard and make a lot of noise, but I like drums when they're played musically. And lately, I have been very fascinated with the construction of drums. There's a lot of things that go into constructing a drum, and a good quality drum has a lot of care put into it. The craftsmanship is very good. A drum has a drum shell. It has what's called the bearing edge, which is the edges of the shell. It has the drum heads, which you strike, and one head resonates the sound. and it has the hardware that's attached to the drum shell. But the thing about a drum that is the biggest part that contributes to the sound of the drum is the empty space on the inside. It's really amazing when you think of it. When someone is constructing a drum, all they're really doing is finding a way to manipulate the empty space on the inside of that drum. If you fill that empty space with stuff that doesn't belong inside that drum, then the drum's going to lose its beautiful sound. The work gone into it and the parts of it are going to be wasted. They won't achieve their purpose. Their relationship among themselves will be all ruined in all kinds of ways. In a way, the drum is dependent upon that empty space in order for it to sound good. If you fill it, it will be no good. This is kind of like our lives. We need to have an empty space for God and for others within us. Each one of us has many unique gifts and talents put there by God. He created each of us as a masterpiece of His wisdom and His love. And we need to have within ourselves, like a good musical instrument, an empty space so that all of the gifts and talents that God gave to us can find their use and their greatness. We need empty space for God and for others. The Pharisees and scribes did not have this empty space. At least, they did not preserve it. They may have had it at the beginning of their lives, but at this point, they don't have it. Their arrogance has led them to be filled with themselves. You know, when we meet someone who's arrogant, we say, this person is full of themselves. They're worshiping themselves. And that's what the Pharisees and scribes are doing. They're filled with themselves and are now incapable of that love for God and for neighbor, for which they were made by God. That arrogance moves them away from love. Now, we have to watch out for arrogance in our own lives. Because look at those Pharisees and scribes. They had everything. As I said, they had the vision of Jesus. They were instructed. They could receive the instruction of the Son of God. And they lost it. So if they can go down the path of arrogance, we can do that also. Arrogance is the worst thing in our spiritual lives. Arrogance is when we put ourselves above others and think that others don't matter and their dignity is not to be recognized and not valued. And arrogance also puts ourselves above God when we try to water down God's word and pervert it and change it in such a way as to conform to our own desires or our own sins. Arrogance puts us away from love of God and love of neighbor. So we have to fight against arrogance in our own lives, because it can creep into our hearts at any time and in any way. In a way, it's probably a lifelong task to work against this spirit of arrogance. Now, I think there are two opposites to arrogance. One is despair. Despair is when you feel like your life is not valuable. You feel that life is no good and you're a total failure, and God doesn't even care for you or need you. It's kind of like a drum. If you had it filled with all kinds of stuff that don't belong in there, despair would be like you just throw the drum away. And that means that all that craftsmanship and all the materials are wasted now. Despair is not good. And there are many people today who go through life with this spirit, this sense of despair on their shoulders. And it weighs them down tremendously. It's an opposite of arrogance, but it's an opposite we don't want. There's a different opposite to arrogance that we have to work at. It's not despair, it is humility. Humility. Humility is when we recognize our own emptiness. We recognize that we are small and nothing, but God loves us. He loves us tremendously. He made us. He has a plan for us that is good. We have to seek to do His will. And so we have to work on that humility, kind of like in the example of the drum. We need to preserve that littleness, that nothingness within ourselves, that emptiness that will allow God and others to fill us, to make us instruments of love for God and love for others. Humility is very necessary. Humility helps us to make space for God and space for others within our hearts. Humility before God is practice, is something we grow in when we have faith, when we really believe in the Lord Jesus, when we receive the sacraments beginning with baptism and the Eucharist, when we live a moral life according to the teachings of Christ and the Church, recognizing that the law of God is more valuable to us than sin, and when we pray each day and trust in God. When we do these things, it's like daily we are making an empty space within so that God's grace can fill us. And humility before others. We grow in humility before others. We practice humility, this humility, by listening to them, by paying attention to them when they speak to us, by doing things to make their lives happier and more peaceful, by never using people, by being grateful to others, by forgiving others and being patient with them and teaching them. This humility before others is practiced first and foremost in our families and in marriages. Without this humility, there is no love. And so, brothers and sisters, we have this call from the Lord Jesus to be humble. Humility is the greatest spiritual step we can take. May we begin again to live this humility. In this way, the Lord will lift us up. We'll become like a good musical instrument, being able to give glory to God and making life more beautiful, not only for ourselves, but for so many others. God bless you.